love the well of all good things. And I want to start with, if I might, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35. In Matthew 12, verse 35, it says this. It says, a good man, or we can add woman, person, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. And so whatever's like on the inside of you, that's typically going to bubble up. And it's going to tell on you. And so, but that's Jesus talking, and he tells us how it works. So today, I want to talk about love. And you know, love is a good thing. Some people think love is a terrible thing because it causes havoc in their life. That's not love. That's a different kind of love anyway. But the love we're talking about comes from God. It's a good thing. Love is a well of everything that's good. And if something is not resting on love or in love or supported by love, it is not good. And you know, we can mimic good things, but it's comes from a bad place, and it doesn't matter what it looks like. If it's not good, if it's not based on love, then it's not a good thing. And you know, if love is not the foundation, then the venture is evil. And the heart has everything to do with your actions. Regardless of how you are portraying love, you know, whether you're being tough love or whether you're disciplining a child or whatever it is you feel you need to do, the heart of that needs to be coming from love and not offense or someplace dark. And so I want you to look at verse 35. Notice it says, a good man brings. Okay, who does the bringing? The person, yeah. The person does it, okay? A good man brings good things out. And so this is something that you have control over. Whether you leave it stored in there or whether you bring it out. But it's got to be in there in the first place. And so just because you have good things in your heart does not mean that you bring them out. And unfortunately, sometimes we hide the good things and we bring out the bad things. Doing good is not always our first choice. Or I'll take that back. Doing good is not always my first choice. You know, you must be wise to the fact that the evil of our days does not encourage bringing out good things. So even if you're inclined to bring out good things, the world is against you. The circumstances are arrayed in a way that's going to encourage you to deliver up something else besides good. And so bringing good things up out of your heart and, you know, delivering them, it just becomes harder all the time. It gets to the point where you think it's too much work. And, you know, I'm trying to deliver up this good. I'm trying to do good and all this. But as no one cares, no one appreciates it, it's too hard. And yet we're called to do good works. And so we mostly, assuredly, are called to do living works. And yet what I'm just saying is that all the natural forces that are coming against you are making that tougher and tougher. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. It says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Okay, so it doesn't do any good to make your parents mad. You know, it's not going to be a benefit for you to make your boss mad or make his life miserable, you know, because you think he hasn't treated you well. What is the benefit of submitting to leadership? It's so that you do not create burden on them that makes their lives miserable. How can making authorities over you miserable create an opportunity for you? And so what benefits would you gain from making your parents miserable? All right, so this though is not a lesson on submitting to authorities. But I'm just using this as to show you how when you're trying to bring up the good things from your heart that God has put into your life, that you have authority over it, that when people don't appreciate you, when they don't acknowledge it or whatever it is, it makes it hard. It makes you kind of upset. It kind of makes it harder for you to. It takes the joy away from it. I'm using this to show how ungrateful attitudes the people around you make the work of bringing out good things from your heart into a burden. You know, when a wife brings out good things from her heart, but her husband ignores her and her children are ungrateful, you know, it makes it hard for her to get motivated to do that again. I know all about being a wife. But she should do it again, no matter how ungrateful the people are around her in her life. You know, when a husband works like a dog because his heart is good and he wants good for his family, but all he earns is constant nagging and disrespect, it makes it harder for him to do it again. It makes it tough. And so what I'm saying is that as Christians who have good in us that want to deliver up good, the world is not really making that easy on us. But we should deliver it up. I know it's hard to work for your bosses, your companies, when they seem to care so little about you. I know it's hard to work next to that co-worker who's just making your life tough. But you should continue to deliver up good. You know, there's a kind of bankruptcy taking place in people's hearts. And there's not many left who are willing to step up and pay the price. And slowly people are starving, they're growing weaker, they're wasting away. And the hearts of many are beginning to dry up. And so here's my point. When bringing a good thing out of your good heart goes unrecognized, when it receives no reward, or it just makes it hard to keep doing that. And yet that's what God has called us to do. You need to keep doing it. And when you receive a reward, you know, when you are greeted with love and anticipation and appreciation, you know, it makes your work a joy. And, you know, you'll naturally, it affirms your choice to bring that good thing up, you know, to do that work, you know, and everyone benefits. But when your reward is cut off, it just makes it hard. When you're trying to just do good and it's all you're getting is criticism, that doesn't exactly make you want to, you know, keep going in that direction. And the result is no one benefits. And everyone suffers. And so it's just kind of like being caught in this negative cycle. Everyone benefits when we appreciate each other. Go with me to Matthew 24, verse 12. See, because of the increase, Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 and 13, says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most, not some, not half, but most, will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And so you have to determine whether that is a really sorrowful reality. You know, I didn't preach that necessarily. That was in the Bible. The love of most will grow cold, but the one who holds in, firm to the end will be saved. And so, you know, if you're planning on holding firm to the end, that's good news for you. But I just want you to know that, most of the people around you are not going to be encouraging that kind of activity in your life. That's why it's tough. That's why it's going to be hard. See, there's hope for the one who does not give up doing good. Sadly, sometimes when people are having problems in their marriages or this and that, they just don't feel affirmed, they don't feel like whatever it is, and one of them will give up and start pulling back. And and when that happens, really the other one really needs to step up their game and make sure they're doing even more than they were doing before. But unfortunately, what happens is because one begins to pull back, the other begins to pull back, and then they end up being wonderfully married ever after, right? There's hope. There's hope for the one who does not give up doing good. You know, we live in days when the wells of good in people's hearts are drying up, and so it's imperative that you do not let that happen to your heart. That's why you must be diligent not to give in. You have to work hard to keep your heart soft. You know, you have to be intentional to keep delivering up good things when there's no one encouraging you around you. And so that's why that you and I, that all of us, must be in fellowship with Jesus more than ever. Because if people are not going to affirm you, if people aren't going to recognize you for the good that you bring up, for your intention, for your good intentions, for the things that you mean, if people can't do that for you because their wells are dry, because their love has gone dry, then you're going to have to depend upon Jesus Christ to replenish you. He will affirm you. He will fill you up. You know, there's hope for the one who does not give up. If you're not diligent, the world will dry up your well. And, I wish there was better news than that, but the good news is Jesus will keep you. But by being close in close fellowship with Jesus, He'll fill you up. And so that means we need to stop looking to the people around us less and less for our edification or for our whatever it is, justification. And we need to look to Jesus as the source of the one who makes it all worth it to us. I'm sorry that you cannot rely upon people to encourage you. If you have someone in your life that encourages you, thank the Lord for them daily. Don't wait for your husband or your wife or kids, though. Don't wait for your pastor or your friends. Praise God that they would step up and do right, but don't wait for them. You must hold on to Jesus yourself. It's really just getting to that point. That, you know, if you're going to be able to stay true, if you're going to make it, you're just going to have to, Jesus is going to have to be your source. Don't wait for others to encourage you. You be the one that encourages them. When people do not love you like they should, don't shut off the spigot. I know it's tempting, and if you go over there and you shut it off, make sure you run back and open it back up. Pray, cry and pray, but do not shut off the love in your heart towards others. Do the work of bringing good things up out of your heart. It's a choice. The one who stands firm until the end will be saved. Not the one who shuts off the spigot. Not the one who lets their well go dry. Not the one who lets their heart grow cold. It's the one who stands firm. And so you have to make a decision. You know, am I going to stand firm in my relationship to Jesus Christ? The world The world is ill. And your love, the good that is in your heart, is the healing that the world needs. And it's sad that so many in the world need your love, but of course that just makes your love that much more important. It makes it that more valuable. It makes it that more powerful. But if everyone stops because it's too hard to bring good things out of their hearts, and it's too hard because of all the evil that's around you, then where is hope? Where's the answer? How are we going to make it? I have good news for you. How many of you like good news?
Amen.
God's not mad at you or anyone else.
Amen.
He's not imputing your sins to you. He purchased you for God his Father, but I don't want to lie. And I don't like to lie. It's hard to bring good things out of the good in your heart in these days. And that is the truth, or the natural truth. It's not all uphill or a theme park after you make Jesus the Lord of your and Savior. I wish it were, but it's not. And we're told to count the cost. I'll guarantee you the trouble that we face after we become Christians is better than the trouble we face before we become Christians. There's a difference between the suffering that we do from the right that we do than the punishment that we get for being not so smart. We're told to count the cost, and so we're told to count the cost because there is a cost for being a Christian. There is a cost for being the one who's going to bring up the good things out of your heart, you know, and deliver them to the people around you. There is a cost for letting your light shine. And it's just a fallacy to not, you know, make that truth apparent. Because anyone who attempts to do it's going to run into that. They're going to find it. People are going to find out that when they try to change their lives and do the right thing, that they might get a few people cheering them on, but at the end of the day, they're not going to be championed, and so there is a cost. And those costs are very apparent today because people's hearts are drying out, and so there's no one to really recognize what's going on inside you. You know, on Memorial Day, a lot of people like to pay tribute to the dead. You know, they put flowers on their graves and all of that. But I'm going to tell you something. Some people like to use it as a time for mourning. But we should not be mourning. You know, if they're dead, there's no reason to remember them. And I know that sounds terrible. But, you know, if they are alive in Christ, it's because they were purchased by Christ. And so if you go to visit their grave, you know, it should be to thank Jesus for the price that he paid for them. Your memorial offerings ought to be a thank offering to God. Jesus brought the ultimate good up out of his heart. He did it for us when we were not making it easy for him. No one wanted to give thanks to a man hanging on a cross. Jesus counted the cost and then he surrendered his will to pay it. And we too must count the cost and then surrender ourselves to pay it. And that's what it's like. That's what it's like to love people in the last days. It doesn't always feel wonderful and fancy. You know, it feels like you're paying a price. There are moments of natural joy. There are times that you stand on a podium of victory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But so often, it is simply hard. It is simply hard to love the person next to you that you feel isn't really doing their part. And that's why people are letting their love grow cold. You know, if you kept investing in anything, I don't care if it's a stock market or what it was, and you just kept losing money all the time. Maybe you wanted to be a cattleman and there was never a good season. I mean, every single time you lost money. Pretty soon you'd stop wanting to do that. Pretty soon you'd want to get out of that investment. And the world would consider it smart. But as a Christian, you know, when you're investing love, when you're bringing the good things up out of your heart and, you know, and you're investing them and you're giving them away, and, you know, and it doesn't seem like you're getting a return, when you're just being abused or taken advantage of, you know, it doesn't make you want to keep doing it. But as Christians, you see, we have to look past the world and look into the kingdom of God and know that we indeed do have a return. I want to encourage you to do the work of love. Don't be lazy. Don't leave it to others. Don't wait for someone else to pay the price. How often do you hear someone talking about how much they love their job? Once there are some people that really love their job, but I'm guessing for the most part you don't hear that a whole lot. You know, when is the last time someone came home from work and told you how great it was? You know, when you go to work, you should bring good up out of your heart. But you can tell a lot of people work isn't their favorite place. It's not the best time of their day. Do not bring, when you go to work, don't take the attitude that they deserve. You know, you don't need to respond in kind. If you do, that's not good. You should try to make it a joy for your supervisor. You should try to make it a joy for the person that's working beside you. I know some people, just thinking about that makes them almost feel sick. But as Christians, that's what we should be doing. Their wells are dry. You shouldn't even expect anything more from them. Be a joy to them. Don't let your heart become cold and indifferent, you know, because of what they're doing. There's no benefit in that. They'll only become harder. And they'll only become more distant. And so, you know, instead, the only hope there is to, you know, to break through their poverty by just keep delivering up love. You know, if you respond to people caring less about you with caring less about them, you are going to be one of the people whose hearts grows cold. How many of you want that? I mean, maybe you've experienced that a little bit in the past and you decided after a while that, okay, that was a mistake. Your choice to let the light shine cannot be based on what you see in this world or what you're experiencing or what people are doing around you. You can't wait for that. Think about Jesus. Okay, if he had decided to go by what he was seeing, he would have never gone to the cross for us. He did it for us while we were being jerks. He did it while we were treating him with indifference. In fact, we were hostile towards him. I mean, if anyone ever had an excuse to throw up his hands and say, okay, I'm finished with this, it would have been Jesus. And so you can never compare your suffering or the thing that you're facing as being too tough. You always have the choice to respond with love, whatever that love looks like. You always have the choice to bring something up out of the good in your heart. You know, we are here to bring a close to the end of the age. That's our job. That's our assignments. Paul was born at a time when he brought the gospel, an understanding of the new covenant to Gentiles. He was at the beginning. And we're at the end. We're here to help those final believers come into the kingdom of God. And the only difference is even though we're at the end, I mean, they did the hard work at the beginning, but it kind of brings equality to it because now it's so much harder to bring someone into the kingdom. I mean, the first sermon preached by, who was it? Was it Peter got up and preached and 3,000 were saved that very day? First sermon up. I have yet to preach a sermon where 3,000 people got saved. You don't know that. Yeah, you preach for years just to hopefully get a handful saved. It's a little tougher these days. The last thing the world needs is to see a bunch of frustrated Christians. We're here to help the final believers come into the kingdom of God, and we can't do that if we let our lights go out. It's just impossible. If we start holding back, you know, if we just start saying, well, you know, whatever that looks like, if you start holding back people don't see the light, you know, I'm not going to let my light shine unless you deserve it, unless you're going to appreciate it, unless you're going to clap your hands and tell me thank you for being such a fine a Christian. If you're not going to do that, then I'm not going to let my light shine. That's not going to help finish up the kingdom of God. You know, we must complete the mission that Jesus started. Somewhere in the heavens, there is this container. I don't know how else to describe it. And it must be filled up. And when it's full, Jesus is going to return. What kind of container it is and what must it be filled with? It's a mystery. But it can be likened, in one example, to a bowl of suffering. Jesus suffered once and for all sin. But the suffering it takes to win souls continues. Every time a Christian suffers, it's a visible replay of Christ's suffering. And so as Christians, you know, we are called to replay that over and over and over. So every time someone doesn't treat you right, somebody doesn't recognize you, somebody doesn't clap their hands for your good, as it said, that you might even be accused for evil or whatever the case it is, every time you experience that, and yet you deliver up good things, then you are a replay of what Jesus did on the cross. And it's during those times that you have your power to make a difference. When you experience suffering, you demonstrate Christ's sufferings, and it is imperative that you respond like Christ. We have to fill that bowl up. Colossians 1:24. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in what I'm suffering. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Jesus died once for all sins. But unless someone sees you suffering for them, they will not believe. There is nothing lacking in Christ's afflictions except you never saw it. They don't see it. What you saw was the faith of those who profess Christ to you. You know, when you shine your light in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of the injustices that you face, we will see it. I'll see it. And we'll be encouraged. I'll be encouraged. You deposit good things into our hearts when you do that. But someone has to make that choice to do that. On the backside of someone deserving it, before they deserve it. And that's how we build the kingdom. That's how it works. That's the cost we pay. We suffer to encourage others. But when the bowl is full, suffering will come to an end. I mean, there's a time when God will say enough. And Jesus will part the eastern sky. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. We're talking about this concept of filling up a bowl. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in. And so again, once again, we see before things can move along, there has to be the bowl has to be full. We're waiting for that last Gentile to enter into the kingdom of God. Revelations 6:11. Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed just as they had been. Okay, so here we see a bowl filled with martyrs. Soon, the bowl will be filled, and Jesus is going to say, enough suffering. Enough injustice. No more. The witness of Christ is complete. After that, it would not matter how much suffering took place, not one additional believer would be brought into the kingdom of God. The full hardening of hearts has taken place, and the last believer has come into the kingdom. Revelations 3:11. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. And so it's imperative that no matter how crazy or how unloving our world is, and so I'm telling you, some people live in a more unloving world than others. But it's imperative that regardless of what your world is that you stay true to Christ. That you continue to pull up good things that He puts on the inside of you up and be a light to the world. Be a light to those who are accusing you. Being a light to those who don't appreciate you. Revelation 3:11, I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Do you have loved ones that need to acknowledge Christ? Pray. And do not harden your heart. Do not let your love grow cold. Let it shine brightly. That's the best chance they have. And the harder it is to let your light shine brightly, the brighter it shines. And so we must be hopeful and remain hopeful in all the doom and the gloom and the evil and the coldness, that stuff that we see, you know, around us. We must stay true. I don't know if we're on the line anymore or not, but I'm going to keep preaching. It's tough for Christians to live on earth. And for anyone who says differently, I just don't think they're telling it accurately. I'm guessing if you have been a Christian for very long, you have found out that it can be very tough. I don't know what they promised you when you became a Christian, but you found out it's pretty tough. I think it's that way a lot of Christians. I think that's why a lot of Christians try to mimic the world. I think it better, it'll be more enjoyable, it'll be easier, but that's not true. I'm not against easier, okay? I'm not against things being enjoyable, but lies don't make things easier. No. Lies are just like a drug that makes you feel better, you know, and until the reality hits tomorrow. And as Christians living in the days that we live in, I just believe we need to be smart. We need to be aware of what we're up against and the forces that the enemy brings against us. There's a lot of lies that are being passed off as spiritual truths. I like to call it like it is. If living by faith is tough, then tell people that, so that they can count the cost. Don't tell them that everything's going to be peaches and cream. What's going to happen when they wake up tomorrow and there's no peaches and cream? Well, I guess that's when you tell them, well, they just didn't have enough faith. I mean, it's true that doubt and unbelief will cause your prayers to go unanswered, but in this life you have troubles, especially if you live by faith. You know, we need to understand that our joy comes from pulling good things up out of the inside of us when it's hard. That's actually, you know, once you understand this and you get your mind around it, it's, you know, it's, when somebody's just being ugly, just pull up some good things and deliver them off to them. Just up your game even more. Turn the 3 watt, or the 3, what is it, the light bulbs that used to have the 3, turn it up to high, whatever. See, that wasn't in my notes. And see how I stumbled over that when I tried to ad-lib? If I had written that out ahead of time, that would have been smooth. You know, we need to understand that our joy comes from pulling good things out of our heart when it's hard, not having all of our worldly troubles evaporate. You know, I love it when troubles are evaporate. You know, God will deliver us from our troubles, but as long as we're on this side of heaven, guess what? More troubles are going to show up. So you better not depend upon that, or you'll be up and down all the time. On this side of heaven, we have troubles. Do not let that cause your love to dry up. And that's my message this morning. Just don't get discouraged. Don't get hard. Don't start getting bitter. Don't start getting, you know, let your love show. All the more as the days grow evil around us. Right now, we have people staying away from church because they need to. They do it to protect others. Or others need to keep the door shut to what the devil would like to do in their lives. And so if they're at risk or have underlying conditions, you know, they have the responsibility to stay home. That's the loving thing to do. But they need to make sure that's from love, that they take their action. I don't want to make anybody feel like somehow they're wrong when they're actually doing the right thing. But here's the deal. For every one of those, I can tell you there are 10 others that stay away because they don't feel that they get enough back when they come. That's kind of sad. I don't know sometimes what they're really looking for. Sometimes they're looking for the wrong things, and those aren't the kinds of things that we have here. We do give away free lattes. I'm not sure that's enough to motivate someone to come. I think it probably takes more than that, but anyway. But here's the deal. Their staying home discourages those who do come. And then we are tempted to stay home. And we're warned that feeding discouragement with discouragement would be a symptom of the last days. And so just seeing this take place, so that tells us where we're at. The days when we work ourselves into a frenzy and running around shouting glory to God because we're going to win the lottery, I'm just telling you, those days are over. If it was true, it's, you know, we've passed by that, and now we're into a different time. If we're going to run around in a frenzy shouting glory to God, it's going to come from a choice to pull up good things out of your heart. Amen. In the face of discouragement. Yep. When there's no motivation. When no one joins you. In the face of being unappreciated and unrecognized. In the face of cold hearts looking back at you. If you're going to shout for joy, it will be because you choose it. If we had an imaginary line here at chest height, you know, and everything above was a net gain or was positive, and everything below was a loss or a negative, you would find most people living below the line, including Christians. There are more oh me, oh my Christians below the line than joyful, thankful, giving Christians that live above the line. And the people below the line are there because of the way they see their circumstances. Or they are there because they weren't recognized and they let their wells begin to dry up. And so there they are in this place when God really wants them to be at a higher place. They're down below the line because nobody loves them. Nobody cares. I'm rejected. I have nothing to give. And they kind of live in a sad place. Living along every day, hoping that there might be a sprinkle of goodness from someplace. And people above the line, I'm going to tell you something, they're not any different. Except instead of going by what they see, or reacting to what the people around them are doing, they pull good things up out of their heart. They see reason to let their light shine. And they reject what they see. And so they're here instead of here. And yet they suffer all the same things. They go through all the same stuff. They're not excited because they win the lottery every day. They're not excited because everyone champions them every day. They're not excited because nothing is never going wrong in their lives. And their husbands are perfect, or their wives are perfect, and their bosses are perfect. That's not why they're happy. That's not why they're above the line. Or because the devil's not giving them any reason to be discouraged. They're excited in the face of those things because they choose to be. Because they choose to keep reaching down on the inside of the good things that God has placed there and pull them up and deliver them, no matter what other people do. But it's going to be harder and harder for them all the time. And so that's who I'm talking to. The group above the line are the ones I'm talking to. You know, if you live below the line, I hope I hope everybody here is above the line. But if you're below the line, you're invited to come to the top of the line, okay? But to you that are above the line, this is my encouragement. Don't give up. Don't stop. You know, you might become a rare breed, but that's okay. Just keep it up. That makes you that much more valuable. Even if you see me drift below the line. You know, even if I tire out and just give up. Don't let that discourage you. Hold on to your faith. Encourage me by pulling good things up out of your heart, regardless of what I'm doing. Now, I'll do the same for you. I'll try to do my best. I'm going to do my best not to let discouragement reign in my life. Let's do our part to fill up that bowl. And you know, we're in the last days and we're approaching the last hour. God will supercharge your faith if you will just choose to let Him. Man, he needs witnesses in the last hour. What kind of saint are you going to be? Are you going to stick, you know, with the team, or are you going to get discouraged and quit the team? Are you the type that quits when the team seems to be losing all their games and everybody's mocking them? If you are, you're going to miss the championship, okay? You're not going to get a ring on your finger when the rest of the team does because you quit. If you're living like a commoner, stop. You are not on the outside of the palace. You are on the inside. It doesn't get better than this. Stop living like a pagan. You're not on the outside of the temple. You are on the inside of the temple serving as a priest. The world does not have the jewels that you need. There's nothing in the world that can light the fire under you, give you the spunk and all of those kinds of things. All those things come from Christ. You have the jewels that the world needs. The question is whether you're going to hide them away because you're disappointed or whether you're going to just keep bringing them up and delivering them. A good man brings up good things from the good things stored in his heart. Store up the right kinds of things in your life. Hold on, stay true, be diligent. You know, and if you stepped back, step back up. Love. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. I don't know. I just think it's exciting as Christians that the most common of us, just by letting our light shine, can have such an impact on the world around us. I mean, aren't you glad that you don't have to be like Paul? Go out and be shipwrecked how many times and snake bit and beaten and stoned and all of those things to make a difference? All we have to do is just in the world that we live in, just facing the things that are pushing against us every day, just to resist that and to let our light shine, and man, we have a powerful impact. The bowl needs to be filled up. And so we just need to be willing to be a part of that process so that we can get it done and we can go on to the glory part on the other, you know, in heaven. And but it takes a people to be smart. And so when we see the forces working against us and we see the way of the world going, you know, we don't want to become a part of that. You know, we want to up our game. You know, we don't want to become less viable as we walk in our Christian lives. We want to become, you know, more viable, more steadfast, stronger in the things that we do. You know, and you know, we need to be willing to come and fellowship with one another and try to deliver up some good things so that people will feel it's worthwhile. But really the truth of it is, whether you do or don't, we need to do that, and we need to guard letting our hearts go cold and becoming disappointed. Just, you know what, it's just too much trouble. I don't even have strength to raise my hand up. You want to shake my hand? Fine. You know? I'm social distancing. No, I don't know. If you are, I mean, if you really are, that's fine. But if we're just depressed, you know, if we're just quitting because we're, you know, we're letting our hearts, then that's a different thing, okay? And I'm just saying, as Christians, there is a light on the inside of you. Christ put it there. And you just need to let it out. Stop being afraid that your heart's going to get slapped around or something. And, you know, we're so afraid that we might go to the cross. And yet, we're called to go to the cross every day of our lives. Praise God. Father God, I thank you so much for your goodness, for your mercy. Father, I thank you that your children, your sons and daughters, will be more viable in the last days than they were in the first. Lord, I know that your word says that the last will be first and the first will be last. But Lord, we speak to the good that's in our hearts. Lord, that we would not be cowards, but that, Lord, we would trust you. That we'd be tenacious. That we'd start by just loving the people around us. Whether it's at our jobs or when we're on the other side of the line at the cash register, wherever we go, whoever we meet, Lord, that we purpose to deliver up good things and not nasty things. Let us be encouragers. And we give you praise for today in Jesus' name, amen.